Diplomacy in the Popcorn. Hello, Stuart.
Hello.
Why did you laugh at me?
This is quite fast. I was... Keep going. Plow on through.
Hello, Troy.
Hello, I'm Troy.
Today's film is Bicentennial Man. Or Beige Centennial Man. Watch it to find out why. Or One Robot's Quest to Cry.
And it does star our favourite actor, but we're not going to give the ending away as who it may be.
No! If anyone's going to voice recognition, not really a spoiler. Or opening credits, in fact. Or front of the video.
Yeah, but that, if you avoid those things, then it's a treat to find out what happens.
Just get someone to give you the blank disc of the film to make sure it's just a fully spontaneous.
Download it illegally. It's the only way.
Download it illegally
and then donate. Is that legal? Is it legal if you shoplift something and then donate that exact sum of money?
Yes.
Okay, next question.
Lesson number one.
This wasn't a quote from the film, but it made me think. Would you be worried if your robot started developing human-like abilities, by which I mean emotional abilities? So, okay. Sorry, I have to spoil it a bit. This family gets a robot housekeeper, and it starts to develop human-like characteristics when it's meant to be robot through and through. So what would you do? You got a robot looking after your children, your cats, your dogs.
A Roomba, let's say. You know, hoovering.
Yeah.
What
do you think? Cool, my robot's a person. Or shit.
I'd be slightly worried.
I had to go straight in. But I mean, I think that was the one thing which kind of was the thorn in the side of that film, really. Because, like, straight away, he was a human being. There was no development into human beingness.
Bit of development.
No, he moves a little bit robotically, and then and then within about five lines, he fully understood the human condition. Children have to learn it again.
Idioms.
Exactly, he was fired up a child.
he was not fired up a child.
But in relation to like real robots, I would be absolutely freaked out if my Xbox or equivalent suddenly showed human-like, like, you know, abilities and talents and stuff, and started behaving in that way. So, yeah, I would be absolutely freaked out.
But would you keep it, or would you wipe it clean?
I would be worried it would become selfish, and it would probably be stronger than me if it was
I don't think an Xbox
the robot would Yeah, you'd have to worry about to what extent its emotions would go.
Apparently, people get so attached to their Roombas that they hoover the floor themselves before they let the Roomba out on it because they feel so attached to it and they don't want to make it difficult for the Roomba.
So, Tro, would you be worried if your Xbox started to love you?
I would think that I was losing my mind.
Wouldn't that be your perfect relationship, you and your Xbox?
Does not compute.
The answer is yes. Okay.
Lección número dos.
You can't invest your emotions in a machine. You can, should you?
I mean, this film is evidence. If we are to take films as evidence,
it should really be you shouldn't invest your emotions in a machine.
Yeah, I think that is how it was suggested, definitely.
What's that disorder called where you actually feel, you
know... Objectophile, isn't it?
Yeah.
What's that?
When you fall in love with inanimate objects.
Really?
Yeah, there's someone who's married to the Eiffel Tower or something. I think she is.
Yeah, or, oh, remember that? Oh, God, yeah, there was that documentary about it, and she, like, the end credits with her just making love to her since.
Yeah, she cheated on it with a fence.
Ow!
I mean, people obviously, to a lesser extent, fall in love with some of their phones and laptops and...
I blame Apple for making such sexy-looking machines.
It is a big problem of Apples.
You were distraught when
you love them. You're like, oh, God, oh, my Apple. But, you know, they actually prefer the company of their object over humans. And they actually do, yeah, they want to have sex with it, they want to marry it, they want to spend their life with
it. They project personality onto it.
Yeah, they give it, they personify it.
Well, but that's the thing, isn't it? Because I don't want to get too philosophical here, but isn't that exactly what we do with people? I mean, I just see a lump of flesh and then I personify it.
An object is not a responsive thing, like mentally, you know. Tell me you see a difference in an object and a human being.
I thought that if I'm watching Biocentennial Man correctly, is that a machine can start to do the things which a human can do.
There is plenty of response to stimuli.
You can't say you see a lump of flesh and you give it, you know, you personify it. Yeah, you might do that, and then. But they have a personality of their own, despite what you may think that personality might be like.
I think that when people look at other people, they unconsciously personify a bag of meat.
That's where the word personify comes from.
Well, you could say that the word personify comes from, you know, you're a person, for certain, and then you look at others.
You're just a lump of meat and you might not actually be a person.
Well, not only when I've, like, you know, analysed it a little bit more carefully, like, you know, and looked at what's going on. I don't think I'm consciously looking at him and thinking, flesh, I will personify that. I think humans are built to see other like machines as things that have minds. As children, we invest our emotions in those things that we call each other. And
you don't only invest in them because they look like us. You don't invest the same emotions in a person as you do a mannequin.
No, it's not just looking like, you know, but looking, behaving. You know, that's taking the strict behavior.
So you personify them because they are a person, which is the correct thing to do.
Yeah, I'm not against it. I don't think this is a bad thing.
I think you gain your knowledge of what a person is from other people than yourself.
I agree with that also.
I think if there were no mirrors, you might not even be aware that you and me were the same.
But our cats think they're us.
Yes, they do.
We shouldn't have given them such human names.
That is true, because, like, children, like, my nephew refers to himself in the third person. I didn't realise that he does that, but he doesn't. A little bit like in Bicentennial Man, in fact, exactly like it.
That's really creepy.
But children do at first do that, like always, apparently. I've heard that. Because they don't have a sense of self until they've learned it from other people. So, yeah, it's a triangulation of the concept, I think.
Never seen that. They don't have a sense of self either.
I think the sense of self develops as they...
Yeah,
as
it's
they,
really very basic.
At first, they just kind of, like, will talk about... They would just say nouns about things that they see and then stuff they want. But they won't say, I want this. They just will say those things. So, but anyway, go back to the point. Have you ever invested yourself in anything in a machine?
I have.
And let's talk about actual robots. I've been
emotionally attached to objects before when I was much younger. Like, I got really upset when my parents got rid of their old fridge.
An old fridge.
I was like, I really don't want you to get rid of the fridge, I'll miss it.
Lezione numero tre.
There's a growing fear robots will make the human workforce obsolete.
I thought about this quite a lot actually when it was there, and I was thinking, what if all human jobs were replaced by automatrons of some kind? Oh. What would the human race do? Would trading go out the window?
It'd be excellent.
Would we just get to do everything? We'd all become artists?
Yeah, it'd be really good. We don't have to go to work and we'd just get a share of the money. Like communism.
Money wouldn't do anything.
We'd need money, but the robots just bring us food, equal amounts.
But it's interesting because you said they would do everything that humans do. So they would be the police force, or they would make the laws and everything. So there would be no place for us.
Well, we just live the good life.
The workforce obsolete, not humans obsolete.
So you're saying, like, you know, oh, the workforce can be, we wouldn't be.
Well, you're talking as though you're making humans obsolete, but it's just a human workforce.
But that is just humans, isn't it? I mean, humans work. It's quite a defining feature, really.
Let's not go too deep into workforce. let's just keep it as, like, you know, there'd be high unemployment levels if robots get more and more advanced and are able to take over human jobs.
But how necessary would it be to be employed?
Yeah, there wouldn't be. That point? It wouldn't matter because everything would be done for you. So
I reckon mankind would still find a way to
work.
I think, as has been shown in civilization throughout history, it will just be that some people will use robots to exploit others. So lots of people will be poor and not have jobs. Some people will be rich.
Everyone would just be making or maintaining robots. That would be the only human job.
You get robots to do that.
Yeah.
You can't get a robot to make a robot.
I think they do. Think
you do.
You can't have it in an endless cycle. You're going to have some human is going to have to be the top cheese in making that one robot.
I don't think you do.
You can't. It's like perpetual motion. It's impossible.
No, it's like someone saying that humans can't keep humans going. Humans can keep humans going. You don't need a master god or someone to kickstart them. That's the same argument used for God.
You do need a human to kickstart a robot at the end of the chain. You do.
Oh, at the beginning of the chain.
Exactly what I'm talking about.
But then once the human's dead, then they're fine. They've been kickstarted.
So if they could power themselves.
I mean, look at Terminator. They build themselves. Okay. They design themselves.
Stuart, real life.
Using films to prove.
I'm just saying.
You're right! Oh. Perpetual motion is possible.
No, I don't think it's equivalent to perpetual motion. I don't think you were paying attention to the Bicentennial Man. That was basically about this robot, that exact thing. Like,
they had me to worry, yes. I don't think we do at this point. Can I move on?
Yeah.
Lesson numéro 4.
Personality is much more fun than intelligence.
Ooh.
Wasn't it?
A little bit of a fun one.
Wasn't that from the Ghosts of Girlfriends Past?
No, but, I needed some more quotes that weren't just gonna...
About robots.
Oh god, yeah, I needed some non-robotic quotes.
Personality, much more fun than intelligence. That's interesting. It's a false dichotomy.
What would you choose, personality or intelligence? So you're gonna be really charismatic, funny, interesting.
For myself, not for my partner.
Yeah, you're going to be. Or no personality at all.
This is the real
so
life.
Intelligent, you know, so clever that you could excel at anything.
You could literally
apart from
make
having
a robot.
Personality.
You could make a robot that could make itself. You're that intelligent.
That sounds like fun. Would I enjoy it without my personality?
Would anyone want to be your friend?
Yeah, I might not care though.
Yeah, you wouldn't care. And a personality without intelligence would mean that you would care, but you wouldn't be able to do anything. So you'd be like a very sad person without arms.
I'm not saying intelligence. You can still get very sad and very lonely. God, I bet you're really boring.
It sounds like the slider on the autistic scale, to be honest.
I don't mean intelligence being a robot.
I say ratchet up the autistic scale.
I think it is. I think once you get to the intelligent end, you're like basically so focused on your own dealings.
You get incredibly intelligent people, but they're just complete.
Yeah, like, I guess you might still have emotions and not have a personality and have intelligence. And maybe emotions is another third thing on the scale here.
Unfortunately.
Do you think it's hard to gauge Stephen Hawking's personality? Do you have to spend a lot of time with him?
I can't gauge it from the adverts. Well, there are adverts for something, isn't there, where he's like talking about something in space.
Yeah. He was like, what does he say?
He says something like...
He says something about dying. I'm not afraid to die, but I...
have truly lived?
Capri Sun.
I think he did Nike, didn't he? My eyesight means a lot to me.
Yes!
That is so awesome!
Oh,
that was it!
You should respect Seamus.
Or something else. Yeah.
It was something to do with vision, I think.
Really upset if it was Spexy.
No, I heard he has a very strong personality.
Yeah, I hear he makes a lot of jokes. Yeah. It takes him quite a long time to get them out. Tro, you've got a very big personality.
But no intelligence.
You've got a very big... Would you cash it in for intelligence?
Would I cash it in?
It's for really boring people, which... Oh.
See, as Stuart said at the beginning, I think that personality and intelligence are probably positively correlated instead of negatively correlated. So I don't think you've got to make that choice.
Oh, I disagree slightly.
that was an anticlimax. I disagree slightly.
Lesson sur go.
This is a question from me that I found myself thinking about through quite a disturbingly large portion of the film. Is having sex with a robot different from using a vibrator? And would you be upset if your girlfriend did it? Or boyfriend? I'll say girlfriend, because I'm outnumbered by the men.
First of all, let's establish, are we upset about a woman using a vibrator, full stop, without Robin Williams' face? I mean, all with like a picture of Robin Williams' face.
Or one of those mould of Robin Williams'.
Okay, vibrator.
Yeah.
With or without Robin Williams.
Stuart, would you be annoyed if like, hypothetically...
I was having a candlelit evening with a vibrator.
No,
not
a candlelit Robin Williams vibrator, it's just a normal...
I like candles.
Okay, so my partner, my hypothetical partner,
Or your real partner, but it's me.
Uses a vibrator.
Don't apply it to a hypothetical partner, because you do this. But then when you apply it to me, you feel differently. So your real answer is how you feel to me.
If you just tune in, this is Lauren Finds Out About Her Husband, the podcast.
I guess... We don't spend much time apart, but if we did, no. I wouldn't.
You'd be like, fair dues, I leave you in I leave you in the lurch a lot.
If I checked the travel for business or whatever, but as I'm here, as I know, we live together, I'm here all the time. You know, but no, I wouldn't be bothered if I was looking for my own.
Okay, but again, you're thinking a hypothetical situation. As we are now.
Which would be weird. Because you just have to get it out in front of me. And be like, what the hell are you doing?
No, I don't mean like that. Go over.
Please don't do that here.
I mean, no, it's to supplement your poor love.
So, I...
Addendum.
Hypothetically. I think it's fine. I think men would be very hypocritical to think it's bad when they probably use all sorts of, you know,
fleshlight.
Well, not maybe like that, but all sorts of things in order to stimulate themselves when they're away from their girlfriend. So,
was thinking, is it just, you know, can I disown masturbation? But to keep in with the robot theme, I have to go with vibrator, really.
Fleshlight.
Well, I think that's the thing.
Fleshlight.
I think that. With a vibrator, it's fine. We have to establish really. Vibrator's fine.
Yeah, fine.
At what point, you know, on the continuum from vibrator to full out Robin Williams?
I'm buying this robot sex dummy.
I think definitely too far if it looks human.
I think if it's purely mechanical and non creative and you don't establish a bond with it, then it's fine.
No, I think it's too humanoid. Taking away.
The humanoid element, because obviously, you know, men watch pornography, and that involves real humans, so, you know,
some of them
you've got to accept that...
No, that's not the same.
It's different between, like, pornography and prostitution.
Which do it get more upset if I was bonking an actual robot, or just watching robot porn on TV?
Lection Nummer 6.
You are a magnificent machine, and no matter how much you change, that's what you'll always be.
That wasn't audio playback, guys. That was Lauren.
Very sad.
I can try and do it in the American accent, but I won't.
So, I wonder
She says this to Andrew.
The android.
Andrew the android, when he's trying to convince her, I can be just as human as any other human, and he's making all these changes to his body to make himself appear more human. But she's saying, you're just a machine. No matter how much you change aesthetically, you'll still always be a machine.
She could be someone who's had that disorder, who's like, who can't help but see someone as a machine. But she was lying to herself, I think it proves in the film, because she could see it.
But, I mean, let's go on personal opinion. Would you ever accept a machine as more than a machine if it was human enough so that you couldn't actually make tell the difference anymore if you didn't know they were a machine, let's say.
Yeah, I definitely think it goes on a kind of parity thing, doesn't it? Like, if you can't tell the difference between the two things, then you can't really... It doesn't make any sense to distinguish them.
Stepford Wives. Stu, if you found out I was a robot, would you leave me?
I feel a bit disturbed.
Yeah.
I think you'd be fine. I don't think you would. I think, like... Because the thing is, you said...
You'd be fine, don't worry.
You said that, you know, if Lauren doesn't change, then... And you found out that she's some kind of machine, then would you say, well, if she doesn't change, then nothing's changed.
I need to know her capabilities, because I'm thinking of the film Teeth.
Sometimes it's important to do the wrong thing, coupled with human beings are terrible messes. Is it important to do the wrong thing just to learn from your mistakes?
Well, there's quite a lot of things being thrown in here.
You have to actively go and do the wrong thing. If you know it's the wrong thing, you can make a mistake and then, like, the future think, you know, I'm glad I made that mistake, I learned from it. But at the time, you don't throw yourself into a thing that you know is going to be...
It's something a bit paradoxical, isn't it?
Yeah.
You can't know it's right to do the wrong thing.
She seemed to imply that you should actively, knowingly do the wrong thing.
I think she was kind of just implying, hey, just be a bit reckless, you know? Don't be so
brutal. No, I think they were pushing forward the classic Hollywood view that to be human is to be slightly irrational. Mm. And that and it's pushing forward the view which everyone seems to think, and which is that robots are completely predictable, cold calculators, and humans are not, and that's the difference. So there, which is such a simplification. My computer at home that I use, my Xbox is pretty temperamental, for example, it's pretty irrational. There was no reason why it had the red light of death, but I'm not going to call it a human.
I think sometimes later on you think, I did some crazy shit, but I live.
Yeah.
That's what you did, Stu, with your years of decadence, exactly.
That's right. We don't talk about those years anymore.
Lexion number 8.
Immortality would give rise to too much jealousy. Human society would never tolerate it.
It was strange.
Because the World Congress suddenly decides that anything which is immortal is therefore not human anymore, which I thought was one of the most interesting parts of the film. Because is it true?
I think the thing I said was, if a human managed to gain immortality, does he lose all his human rights? Because that's the backwards journey.
I don't think immortality would be why human beings wouldn't accept a robot as a human. I don't think that would really come into it that much. I think it would be more like you weren't born a human.
That's true, you don't really get to choose your species, do you?
Well, okay. It's like, I want to be an antelope. I'm going to go to the World Congress. The antelopes would never accept you, Laurie.
You can change your... I know this isn't species, I'm aware, but you can change your gender and have that recognised legally.
You can.
So, couldn't I change my species and become an antelope?
Hang on, though. Even though you could change your gender, you can't have it recognised legally,
though.
Can you not?
Though. Is it not? Okay, before gay marriage was allowed, you couldn't marry someone of the same sex still. Even you could never change your birth certificate. You could never actually be... I don't know where we would apply being legally male or female unless...
The Olympics?
But, yeah, I don't think that would be allowed.
There's that famous
Semenya.
The important question is it a defining feature of humanity to be immortal?
No.
You actually disagree with the fictional World Congress?
I agree that it's...
Is it a defining feature?
I think it's a defining feature, certainly. It gives rise to nearly all of our drives and...
What, that we've only got a finite time to accomplish?
Yeah, definitely. And that I've personally never spoken to anyone that would want to be immortal.
I've spoken to a lot of people who wouldn't want to have Down syndrome, but I wouldn't say they're not human.
Ooh.
That's not...
I'm just saying, what you want...
Stuart, we're not saying Down syndrome is a, you know, part of the human condition. We're saying immortality isn't.
Like, my phone dies within 2 years, and my computer crashes within, 2 years. So, like, the assumption throughout the whole thing is that he is immortal, but real computers aren't immortal at all. Like, they do break, just like we do.
I think the contentious point is the jealousy, because there are loads and loads of humans that will make other humans insanely jealous. Pop stars, billionaires, people who have jetpacks, whatever.
Have crazy sex like they do in the film.
Mm-hmm. You don't get ejected from the human race just for having a lot on your side.
That was it, yeah. The head of the UN or whatever it was just like, you know, it has been ruled, you make people too jealous, therefore you're not human. It does seem pretty harsh. Yeah,
sorry.
It's just sour apples, isn't it?
Sour apples.
Is that not it?
sour grapes.
Well, it doesn't matter what is sour, does it?
Just sour kettles.
It's not my fault that idioms are so random.
Sapka no Sankia.
I would rather die a man than live forever as a machine. Why are you laughing? I thought that was quite poignant. I thought it was quite nice.
Yeah, but towards the end, it does become a bit like you just want to make a funny musical out of it.
Answer the question. Would you rather die a man than live forever as a machine?
Depends what the machine is. If it's an answer machine.
Who would you take messages for? Everyone else would be dead.
If it's an answer machine, then you'd answer the question.
I probably would rather die man. Although he was a pretty humanoid machine.
But, I mean, from Andrew's perspective, it wasn't... The thing is, he wanted to become human and wear out and die because he was going to lose his lady. He would rather... He was quite happy to keep on living with her as a machine, but she was like... I'm going to wear out, and I'm going to die, and I want to. But if she was like, yeah, let's do it, if you can keep me alive forever, then sure. Obviously still wanting to be, you know, validated as human.
That was the point. It was just being validated.
It was validation. I don't personally see much distinction between man and machine. Therefore, the question is basically saying, do you want to be mortal or immortal? And I go with immortal.
I don't see much difference between man and machine.
No, I don't think Stuart does either. I don't think. Sure, the whole film is proof, if needed. That
there it's without bicentennial man. Like,
there is no difference between man and machine. Yeah,
that kind of machine existed, but in our world it doesn't. So how
it does. It's
really
called Lauren
Bot.
Lauren Bot.
No, but that's what I'm saying. I think you are a machine. I honestly do think
you are a machine.
But I'm not a machine in terms of man-made.
It's like Planet of the Apes, but it's Planet of the Machines. I do think the lines are blurred. I honestly don't think there's much distinction between people and machines. I don't think there is any significant distinction.
I think the point is,
would you rather die a machine or live forever as a man? Let's go to court and try and get Tro, like, validated as a machine.
So that I can die?
Let's do it!
Lauren, if there was an identical Tro sitting next to him, except, you knew he'd been man-made, but, you know, he had the same intelligence, personality, sentience...
So, there's no difference.
What's the difference? The manufacturing
My personal view, that's what the difference. And that was the difference in Andrew's case. His personal view of himself.
But he was this alternate trend.
Yeah, he knew that there was no real difference. He knew that he was really the same as a human being.
You know what scares me more than anything? Is that when I die, if I had a soul... And like when Earth, you know, exploded and the sun, you know, the universe collapsed, my soul would be wandering space forever alone. Horrible.
Lauren does have a fear of space.
Don't
it's too
want
big.
A, don't want a soul.
Space is pretty big. If Obama was a robot, would it matter?
If you have comments, feedback, or suggestions for films to watch, email theproofisinthepopcorn@gmail.com.
And would it matter if that was Obama?
Can I say Obama? Obama.
Sounds like an Irish arse racist.
Obama.
Maybe we should end there.
Yes, we can.
Lauren is now using a vibrator.
A tiny human one.
Stop your vibrators. It's really off. Personality score is decreasing.
That's what he does when we have sex.